Andrew. Andrew always leads a song that's very appropriate to the lesson. And so very thoughtful, and so I appreciate that. And that's no different tonight. So we appreciate you being here for our intentional series, Intentional Christian Living. And tonight, Ross Anderson and his wife Paula are with us. Ross preaches at the Cedar Grove congregation in Fairburn, Georgia, just in Fulton County, south of Atlanta. Next week, Brent Misseldine will be here, and his subject will be intentional in our marriages. And so I know you will not want to miss that. He is has some unique qualifications and does a lot of work in that area, and so it'll be a very good lesson as well next week. I was going to talk about Ross, but he left, so I know. Oh, okay. He's got handouts, so okay, that's it. Ross and Paula have been married for 44 years, and so maybe he could be doing the lesson next week for intentional marriage. He has been the preacher at Cedar Grove congregation for 37 years. So right away you see a person of faith, a person of commitment. I think I've said this every time Ross has been here, but it's true, and I mean it. And sincerely when I say it, only God knows people's hearts, and only God can truly see what we are. But humans can see fruit, can't we? And we can see people's lives. So it's hard to be 100% accurate. But Ross is the most Christ-like person I know in all the world. I've known him, and it's just, he's a true blessing and encouragement for me to be around. And so when he and I worked out the topic of being intentional in the aroma of Christ, what kind of aroma do we share, and what kind of aroma did Christ have, and how are we going to share that as we are around people? There's no better person that I could think of than Ross Anderson. So we're getting some handouts, so be sure to get a flyer as that comes. Ross, time is yours.
Oh, that's just terrific. Thank you, Alan. Enjoying ourselves, visiting and talking and getting reacquainted and visiting with everybody. I almost forgot those. And I went out, left them in the car and brought my handouts in. And Bob said, Alan, I'll be glad to see you coming back in. So there you go. We are thinking about aromas tonight. And so I'm going to give you the chance. Does anybody want to talk about their favorite fragrance? Any of you ladies have a favorite that you want to call out? I'll start. I brought our bottle of Isatis. I had to practice this. It's made by Givenchy. I had to practice that three or four times. Givenchy. Isatis. I got that for Paula. There's a fragrance shop up not too far from where our daughter lives, and that was a little present couple of years ago, and she has used it all up, and she's just about to the end of that. And I said, wait a minute, let me save that bottle. I think I can use it. It's a fragrance bottle. Do any of you all have favorite fragrances? Nobody wants to own up.
Well, mine is Isatis, but
we like,
also Private Collection
by Estee Lauder, and I have bought that a time or two too. Aroma of barbecue pork is hard to improve, especially if you got it on there, you know, smoking and hours and a lot of, that's a good fragrance. Chanel, number five. I mean, how do you improve on a classic like that? That's right. Fragrance. Yes, ma'am. Say it again. Happy, happy. Well, and you can make a pop song on that if you wanted to, as well as a fragrance. So that would be great, wouldn't it? So fragrances. We got three or four that we've got. Nobody else wants to own up. Now, I'm happy is very good. Mine is 365 Blue. And Paula gave that to me, so that Now, you have to be careful because there are people who have sometimes allergic situation to get over. You can overdo it. When we were dating back in 1973 and 1974, sometimes we did a lot of our dating on campus because I didn't own a vehicle. And we would walk places or sometimes just stay in the dormitory. And sometimes I would come in the door of the dormitory and Paula's roommate or suite mate would say, "Watch out, Ross fell in the British Sterling bottle again." You can overdo it sometimes if you're not careful. And sometimes things are different from what you would expect. Another preacher in a different state was at one of the stores, and he saw the manly fragrance, and he was captivated by the name. It said Energized, and he said, "Oh, that's it." And he made sure it wasn't subtle at all. He made sure his wife knew all about it, the box, the color, everything that it looked like. And so sure enough, Christmas came and he got Energized, and he was careful, used it all year, and it ran out and he wasn't energized anymore. And he didn't pay any attention until the next time he was in the store. He got to looking it up and he realized how much it cost, and then he realized why he didn't get another present like that. So. But sometimes you have these unusual things. You know, we were in the Dollar Tree. I guess you all have Dollar Tree down here. Did you know you can get fragrance at the Dollar Tree? The Pink Chill is at the Dollar Tree. The Blue Ocean is at the Dollar Tree. One is called Meringue. Would you use fragrance that came from the Dollar Tree? And there's some for the guys too. The one for the guys is called Hulk. So, it really, really was. I have the pictures on my phone. But they go from one extreme to the other. You're looking at an image of a fragrance called Golden Delicious. You want to take a guess at what that costs? Throw out a number. Don't say 100. 100,000 is way low. Golden Delicious, that little jar right there, is priced at $1 million. Now, this one is relatively a low price. Imperial Majesty's only $500,000. So you can go from one extreme to the other when you are talking about fragrance. Does the Scripture say anything about fragrance? Have you ever thought about that? What does the Scripture say about fragrance? Yes, sir. Aaron's oil, and that's in one of the Psalms about running down the beard and how pleasant that is. So the oil has an aroma. The incense was a very exotic blend, 5 different spices. That's a great place to start. The incense is aromatic, and it's said to be a pleasing aroma, isn't it? That's a good one. There are a couple of different times, several different times, in which incense comes up in the life of Jesus. And the one that I am going to suggest we focus tonight is in the 14th chapter of Mark. So let's take turns reading. I don't have to do all the talking. I'll invite anyone who would like to and several volunteers to help us read these scriptures. So who's going to start us off? Namely, go ahead, please. Here we go. That'll be fine. Just read the slide. There we go. Now, Bethany is a village just outside Jerusalem. You could probably walk between the two in less than an hour. And they are reclining. That reminds us that it was not a Western type meal. They were not sitting up in a chair under a table. They were reclining. And it raises all the questions. Who is Simon the leper? You want to know, how did he get that name? Obviously, he had been ill, diseased. Did Jesus heal him? Was he Simon the former leper? A lot of questions that Mark does not give us all the answers to, but he challenges us to think about that. A woman comes. We know her name from 12th chapter of John. Do you know who it was? Who lived in Bethany? You just about said it's Mary. It's exactly right. According to John 12, Carol, thank you. So let's go on. Who's volunteering next? Why this waste? Would you be mad if something was broken? Would you be mad if something was poured out like that? Let's continue. You just go ahead and finish this thought if you'd like to, Alan. Harshly. They're getting down on her, aren't they? That's wasted. What happened next? Another volunteer? Somebody else who would like to read? Maybe, would you like to read it? Would you like to? Would you like to read, Dick? There you go. And we might as well finish this thought. There we go. All right, who else wants to finish the story? Got another volunteer? Anywhere? Go ahead, please. Thank you.
I tell you the truth. Wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told.
In memory of her. That's good. Thank you, everybody, helping me out. Well, you recreate this scene. They're having the meal. And all of a sudden, this crash is heard. You ever been in a place like that where something happened and you didn't know whether to be surprised, startled, or embarrassed? That's 1974, August the 2nd. We were having a meal. Paula's Last Supper. It was a rehearsal dinner at our getting ready for our wedding. And so we had, I don't remember the contents of the rest of the meal very well, but waiter was coming out of the kitchen carrying a big tray of lime sherbet in these little crystal little cups that they use. And somebody else going in at the same time, and that door bumped, and that hit his tray, and it hit the floor with the biggest crash. My brother still reminds me of that big crash at our dinner. What do you do? And everybody's looking at it like, oh, wait a minute, I wish that hadn't happened. I wonder if everybody was feeling that way over this woman breaking up. You ask questions about the jar. Was that a family heirloom? They had something very valuable in it. Was this something that meant a lot and now she has broken it? That's what they say. The little boy talking to his mother, that lamp's been in our family for generations? Yeah, she said, well, this generation just broke it. So you wonder if that's the way it was with Mary. And the ointment is now being deposited on Jesus. It's like Mark is taking some frames or different angles. You know how we do in a TV show sometimes? Maybe it's a courtroom drama or something like that, where you have several different individuals. And sometimes the camera will focus on first this one, and then this one, and then this one. And in this story, you have the focus in three different angles. I think what Mark is driving at is he would like us to see into which of those categories we would fit. And Alan was anticipating the idea very well when he said we would like to consider what is our own aroma. Well, which one of these people is the one with which I will identify? Let's take a look at what's going on. This story shows something about commitment. Commitment from the woman. Why? Why am I saying there was commitment? Why do you think? There's a lot of money involved. It's highly expensive. It's very involved. It's ornate. So there's a commitment of money. What do you think, Andrew? She had to break it. There's no going back. There's no going back. It's all out there. This is a whole hog or nothing. And she puts it, it's exactly right. Very, very well put. What? Somebody back here, thank you. Thanks for pointing it out. Yes, ma'am. She could have been. What if Jesus had acted like Judas did? And what if Jesus had not liked this? So there was a risk. So there's some commitment here, isn't there? It is, first of all, a way in which she shows love to Jesus. For all of the reasons that you all have mentioned already, is that she is very much invested in this process. What's our first obligation? I came to Jesus and said, what's the most important? You know the answer to that, don't you? You can say it. Love the Lord your God. All your heart, soul, strength, and mind. Love the Lord. That's what is taking place there. And that's what she is showing. It is sacrificial. I showed you a minute ago the golden, delicious fragrance. And I didn't point it out at that moment. I guess I should have brought another image back. Part of the deal in making that so-called $1 million, I don't know what it's worth. They get the extracts from the inside of a shark and make some of it and some of that business. But part of it's the container. And that was observed a minute ago. Andrew said it's a one-of-a-kind container. That container on Golden Delicious has 2,909 gemstones that have been hand-placed to represent the skyline of New York City on the jar. And so that's part of what supposedly makes that so expensive. Well, in this case, we're not told that it had jewels on it. But we are told the ointment was worth a certain amount. It could have been sold for how much? 300. Now, what does one average style working person earn in the first century? Well, one in a day. So how long does it take you to get 300 denarii? That's a whole year's worth. So just think in terms of whatever you make. You know, if it's 50,000, if it's 100,000, whatever you make, and that is now just being deposited on the head of Jesus. And you're thinking, well, okay, I could have given him $25 or $30. I could have gone to Dollar Tree and got a fragrance and poured out and he'd smell. But the whole year's worth? And so it's a highly sacrificial act, very costly. It is a gift of faith. There is something taking place in Jesus' life that is now in process. Jesus refers to this later in the interview, doesn't he? There's something that Jesus has been saying all along. And I don't know if you want to look it up. I don't have these on the screen. But Mark 8:31, Jesus is talking to the 12, the disciples, and he's trying to get them to understand mission. And he says, now we are going to Jerusalem. And everybody's going, oh, Jerusalem. Yes, we are going to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man is going to be abused, and he's going to be betrayed, and he's going to be misused, and he's going to be killed, and on third day rise. Okay, and the disciples think what? He's just exaggerating. So the next chapter, Mark 9, 9:31. You had three straight 31s. It's just the same thing going over again. We're going to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man is going to be betrayed into sinful men, and he is going to be killed, and on the third day rise again. And the disciples are going, so what? So you get then Mark 10, starting at 31 through 34, and he's even more specific, that we are going to Jerusalem, and we are going to enter into a phase of testing, and the Son of Man is going to be betrayed, and I'm going to be abused, and they will eventually kill, and on the third day I'll rise. And the disciples, what? Well, Lord, which one of us is going to be the best? Just still totally miss it. But what is this woman? She is there, he says, preparing him for death. Whatever the disciples were missing, she was getting it. Frequently, it has something to do with that embalming process. That's, thank you, sir. And you read later where Joseph of Arimathea comes and they bring the spices and so forth. And the women want to come and they want to embalm him and so forth. But this is like pre-planning. Is that right? Anybody have pre-planning down at the funeral home? This is like pre-planning for Jesus. And so she's making this. So there's a statement about an understanding. Anointed my body. But I think also there's something about this being appropriate. It's fitting. It's right. Human being. We live in a fallen world, don't we? How long are human beings going to have physical and material needs?